Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Likeliest candidate for this office.
The American people have spoken, and they have spoken clearly.
I may not have won your vote tonight, but I hear your voices. I need your help, and I will be your president too.
It's natural tonight to feel some disappointment, but tomorrow we must move beyond it.
We have never been just a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America. The road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in one term. But America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there.
Some voices from last night. Well, the parties that began, be they the sad parties or the happy parties, the voices of now President-elect Barack Obama and Senator John McCain during their, as the case may be, their acceptance or their concession speeches. Well, everybody knows how it came out, a pretty decisive victory for Barack Obama and seats gained in both the Senate and the House for the Democratic Party. What really happened yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Joining us here in the studio this afternoon, Wednesday, November the 5th, day after the election, Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District of Illinois. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. I do want to hear from you about yesterday's election. Or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Congressman John Shimkus is a regular guest. Thanks for coming over and joining us here in the studio.
It's great to be back in the studio.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Is it as exciting to win now as it was when you first started in politics, either on the county level or up at the state level or the national level?
It's that's a good question. It's not as exciting. I think it's more you appreciate it more because when you run numerous times – you have a verifiable record. I mean, folks can check it, you know, the web access. People can really dig down into your statements. You can access speeches that I made 10 years ago on the floor of the House. And getting elected in a couple sessions, and you know people have the opportunity to fully vet you. When you're a new candidate, it's all hope. It's expectation. And even for the candidates, like, oh, I hope I can do this. You know, there's now, you know, it's like you're on solid ground. I think with my district, I think I vote my district. It's conservative, socially and fiscally. I think my record supports that. And then I thank them for putting their faith and trust in me. And then I have to just continue doing the things that I've been doing in the past.
Which is in worse shape right now? November 5th, the Republican Party at the national level, having just been roundly defeated on many fronts, or the Republican Party in the state of Illinois?
Well, you look at I do believe that there are a pendulum that moves back and forth. And, you know, the hurdle that Republicans had nationally this year was just the fact that we're in the second term of defined right now as a president who's not popular in the public at large based upon polling numbers. Now, I still have great appreciation and support for President Bush, but the public's tired of the Iraqi campaign. They're tired of Afghanistan, this economic crisis. Our Republican nominee, Senator McCain, had a big hill to climb just in the environment. In fact, you look at the the polls coming out of the election booth, people said economy's number one. And that just changed within the last 6 weeks of the election cycle. So we just have to get back to our basics. And then that's kind of what's being discussed now. You know, where are we? Why did we lose some of our supporters? And how do we go about getting them back?
Okay, on the issue of the economy, and in particular the bailout, was it a mistake? Was it perhaps a fatal mistake for John McCain to suspend the campaign even for a few days, go back and vote for the first big phase of that monetary bailout when things started to fall apart?
Well, hindsight can allow you to make an evaluation. I think what hurt him in that vote, although I will tell you, in Washington, what was being told us was that if we did not support this vote, we would be responsible for the next Great Depression.
You were being told that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was a pretty big burden. I think most of us, especially that first vote, it was as difficult a vote as the Afghanistan vote or the Iraqi vote, because it's going to cost money, people are going to be dislocated, people could lose their lives, you know, poverty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to – most of us have members had to really grapple with that. The problem, I think, was when we added on the tax extenders, and that was a Senate version of the bill, that's kind of the earmark – pork barrel thing that Senator McCain...
Sweeteners is what they called them.
Well, yes. And that's what he's been laid part of his whole campaign on, and then signed off on that bill.
Was that the heart of your opposition to the bailout?
Oh, no. Because I voted against our first bill that didn't have any of the extenders in it.
Okay.
In fact, most of us liked the extenders. They were just extensions of current tax law. So it wasn't, most of it wasn't new stuff. Mm-hmm. It's stuff that's in law right now. Mine was just that three things. Well, a whole bunch more, but three. $700 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's more than we do for annually for defense. It's more than our interest payments on our national debt. It is a huge amount of money. $700 billion given to an unelected bureaucrat to make decisions and pick winners and losers. Why AIG? Why not Lehman Brothers? If you're invested in AIG, you're glad he did that. If you're a Lehman Brothers investor, you're kind of going, what's the deal? And the decisions that are being made now by the Treasury and Bernanke based upon this bill are way outside what a lot of us thought the parameters of this bill. The third thing is probably the most important thing. In a capitalist system, if you believe that it's the best way to apportion goods and services, the best way for the lowest price, you can't support the capitalistic message on the way up and then cry for government help and socialism on the way down. And the quickest way to turn the economy around is to let the market do that. Now, the market's not compassionate.
No, it's pretty merciless. Yeah.
you guys might know a little bit about the market. But it does make you lean and mean and turn around and get back to doing the job.
Okay. If you had to choose one person that you were going to look to now, post-election, as someone who is going to be a voice of leadership for the Republican Party, in particular the pro-life movement, who are you going to look to now, Congressman?
Oh, I kind of know that from Republicans. The foremost Republican thinker, I still think, is Newt Gingrich. He has his problems. He has his baggage. We're looking for a revolution again. So he can create the revolution. He just couldn't manage it. You know, he had trouble leading us after he was victorious. But he still is a tremendous thinker, outside the box type of guy. And I don't see anybody come near him in my time.
It's Wednesday, November the 5th. We're talking with Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District of Illinois, reflecting on yesterday's election and also on the future of the Republican Party and the pro-life movement. As I said, it's Wednesday afternoon, November the 5th, and we're looking for your phone calls, your questions, and your comments on the election. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Or our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Tim calling from his car. Tim, welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. You guys touched on so many of your subjects. I don't think think the Republican Party is dead. I think that this should be a wake-up call to them to there are some basic differences between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and their platforms display that, and I don't think the Republican Party has been living up to their platform, and I think that's why people are angry at them. I think the American people expect the Democratic Party to be what they usually are, but when the Republican Party begins to behave in the same manner, then and with all of the scandals, I think that just gives people it kind of flattens their hope, and they be like, "Well, what's the difference? There's no difference between them anymore." So,
all right, Tim, thank you very much. About a minute here before we take a break, and I'm gonna ask you to stay with us just for a second or two after the break.
Guilty as charged. I mean, that's part of the problem. People, we got involved in big government and expanded the size. We have members who are in jail now for being crooks and criminals, war heroes that have done that have really embarrassed us, guys that we respected. So that's – we got to clean up our act. You can't you just can't say one thing and espouse a level of belief and then do something else.
Well, when we come back from this break, if you'd be with us for a few more minutes, sure. A couple more questions on the other side of this break. Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. I got a question. Last night when I was listening to John McCain's concession speech, I heard him say something that really, really struck me. He said, the failures is not yours. He said, the failure is mine. He took responsibility for mistakes that he had made. I'm wondering whether or not that's another good step forward for the Republican Party in the future. Now, I want to hear from you on yesterday's election. Call during this break, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943, or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio on this Wednesday, November the 5th. TalkBack@issuesetc.org. TalkBack@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, a few more minutes with Congressman John Shimkus on yesterday's election and your phone calls and your email. And then Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest. We'll talk about peace, the concept, the idea, and the reality of peace in the Holy Scriptures. Stay tuned.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
The Holy Bible, does it contain God's Word?
Answers with Ken Ham, one of today's foremost speakers and writers on the culture wars in Western societies.
I have a letter from a pastor who doesn't accept Genesis as written. This church leader stated that Genesis wasn't meant to be taken literally. It was only to be understood as what he called poetic epic stories handed down by oral tradition. He also said he believed in evolution. You know, when you read the Bible, if you don't take the first 11 chapters of Genesis literally, then you don't have any foundation for Christian doctrine. Ultimately, directly or indirectly, all biblical doctrines have their foundation in Genesis. For instance, the only reason we know that sin is rebellion is because there was a literal rebellion by a literal man in a literal garden. So how can a church leader ever say anything else? Well, the real problem lies in how he approaches the Bible. You see, in this same letter, this pastor wrote that the Bible contains God's Word. This is the problem. Paul in Thessalonians says the Bible is God's Word. We need to take it as it is written, the Word of God.
If we're to take Genesis literally, does that also mean we have to accept events such as the Tower of Babel? That's the cover story of our Answers magazine, and we'd like to send you this sample issue for your donation of any amount. Call us toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to the web, answersoffer.org. answersoffer.org.
Issues, etc. Regular guest, Pastor John Pless, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
No doubt that it will become a devotional classic, the likes of which American Lutheranism has not seen. It is a literary testimony to the spiritual vitality of confessional Orthodox Lutheranism.
A Christ-centered, cross-focused family devotional, Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in the studio, Congressman John Shimkus, we're talking a little bit about yesterday's election and tomorrow's prospects. He serves the 19th Congressional District of Illinois. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943 or talkback at issuezTC.org. Here's Tony calling from his car. Hi, Tony.
Hello, guys. Congressman, how are you today?
Fine.
Great, great. Hey, the question was why we lost the election. Or what my opinion is, we lost because, like maybe the previous caller kind of hinted on, we ran a very soft, too moderate election. Or campaign for many months, we had multiple candidates not running for president, but they were running. I could sound like they wanted to be vice president. No one wanted to take charge. Everyone wanted to stay on this sort of rhino message. And we've seen time and time as Republicans / conservatives that has been a failing, losing position.
Tony, thank you very much. What do you make of it?
That's the same debate that we have in our conference. I mean, we do have folks that are saying until we return back to our core values and stop trying to be everything to everybody, we're going to have problems. The other side of that coin is, you know, we do have Republicans that are part of our base that are in some moderate areas, and you just can't shun them either. But you know, I'd still believe McCain was a moderate. No, that's a bona fide. Everybody knows that. And but he, in this environment, was probably our best chance. Now, some people will say if we would have had a real conservative running, I'm not sure. The challenge was so difficult to begin with.
Yeah, he, as you said at the beginning, he had a real steep hill to climb. Let's see what Joe has to say, calling from his car. Hi, Joe. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, the question I had was about the bailout package that was passed this fall. It really bothered me, and I know it bothered a whole lot of other people out there. I don't think it was really very popular with the people, and it heard rumors that when the House of Republicans voted it down that there were constituents calling in against it to the numbers of 300-1. And it, at that point, when both of the candidates were coming out rushing into a decision of spending billions of dollars, which really seems to be kind of loose spending. And if it was me personally with my own finances, somebody rushing me into a decision of you got to make this financial commitment, or that's an enormous one, and you got to do it right now, is even reason for me to pause. And if it seemed like the conservative person, even a conservative moderate, would have said, hey, let's pause here, and especially coming from the one who was claiming to be a maverick, that, okay, here's a time to go against your own party, here's a time to go against an unpopular president, and here's a time to say, wait a minute, you need to pause here and think about this. I think he lost the election in that decision.
All right, Joe, thank you very much.
I'm not going to dispute that. I think a lot of people believe the same thing. And as I said, I don't know, maybe it was off air, I think that especially that Senate vote for McCain when they added the extenders, which was $120 billion, defined as poor, you know, people really, I mean, they were mad to begin with. And then they really got mad that says, oh, now you put all these sweeteners in and you can push a couple guys over on the fence to vote yes. They really took offense. I took offense at that because, like, they're trying to buy my vote. I was a no both times, just for the record.
Keith in North Platte, Nebraska, emails us. He says, regarding the government bailout, it was reported in the press and admitted by lawmakers that the vast majority of Americans were opposed to any form of bailout. In spite of this opposition, the bailout was passed. How can I understand our form of government as representative when a renegade Congress and president can pass legislation that people do not want? How could citizens have prevented this stealing of our authority, he asks Keith in North Platte, Nebraska.
Yeah, we don't have a direct democracy. We have a constitutional republic in which people elect their representatives to go to Washington, not purely to vote for the popular will of the district, but also to make judgments based upon being empowered by their constituents, because there are times when you can't take a poll as to how to vote. So that's the great question I get asked every time I'm in a school.
Ann is listening in Crestwood, Missouri. Hi, Ann.
Hi, and this is not a good day for me. I think after an election, you see so clearly that an issue like the pro-life issue, the anti-abortion issue, actually, and it just does not matter to people. And when you see it so confirmed, it allows me to see again that I'm always in the minority about everything. From you, Mr. Shimkus, do you think that Newt will ever run for anything?
Let's talk first about the pro-life issue. What do you think? Was this presidential election and this change in the House and the Senate a referendum on the pro-life issue, or are Americans still in favor of protecting unborn life?
I would have to see the new members who came. I think the House is really emblematic of where the nation is, and it was before the selection of pro-life majority in the House. I've got to believe it still is. But obviously this presidential race did not hinge on the pro-abortion record of Senator Obama. I mean, my infanticide position of Senator Obama, which I find very troubling.
Okay, then Ann also asked about whether or not former Congressman Gingrich could be drafted into running again at any period in time.
Newt's a fantastic mind, but he has his baggage too, that other politicians have been able to shine up themselves and get back in. I think he may have done it this last cycle, but for some reason didn't pull the trigger. You never say never in politics. You just never say never.
Okay, then finally, where does the Republican Party go from here, Congressman Shimkus?
Well, I think we go back to the basics, and we understand that we're the party of less government, lower taxes, individual freedoms and liberties, less government. And we have to now use the bully pulpit, and if there's things that move governmentally that are in line with those values, we should be helpful and supportive. I mean, we've got great challenges in this country. But there's an important aspect to have a loyal opposition. And that's to raise the issue publicly so we can help inform the public as to the direction that the elected leadership want to lead us, and that there are some people standing, in essence, trying to stand in the gap.
Congressman John Shimkus is a regular guest. He serves the 19th Congressional District of Illinois, and he was kind enough to come over this afternoon, casually dressed. That's all right. We'll have a picture of us up a little bit later on our website. But come over post-election and have a conversation with us. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for all you do.